Yeah. Welcome to Rough Around the Hedges podcast. I guess we're going with it. I'm Kaylin.
I'm Christine.
And I'm Mackie.
Today, we're going to be talking about importing seeds and plants.
Yep.
Yeah.
And poaching, which is hand
poaching
in hand.
In relation to importing.
Sure.
Not the broader issue, because that is...
That's a whole other episode topic of going to a country and...
shooting animals. Sorry.
That's legal if you got the money. Because what are fines if not just something you pay to make it go away?
Well, and trophy hunting and all that, but we're not going to go into it. Importing plants.
Hello, everybody. This is a plant podcast.
You grow plants, you grow a lot of plants, and you are not happy with the supply that you find in America anymore. So you're going to go, I want plants from other countries.
So reasons to import. Why would you want to import stuff? Well, it's usually stuff you either can't get in the States or stuff that's just cheaper to import, although that is less likely nowadays.
Thank goodness.
Well, I feel like, and I've never imported stuff, but I am an Etsy scroller, and I feel like the stuff that you find in other countries is cheaper, but what you're going to pay in shipping and importing fees is so high that either you're better off trying to find something in the U.S. And we're talking specifically U.S. because, we're located in the U.S.
That is very true, unless... you read the laws and then you can, if you're importing like one or two plants, it's usually not worth it.
Right.
That's not nowadays. Back in the pre-pandemic, it would be.
Mm-hmm. How many plants do we need to import to make it worth it?
Depends. It all depends. The constraint is for the free permits, you can only bring in up to 12 plants, I think, is the limit.
Oh, okay.
So you're kind of limited. So you got to be smart with that. But you can also get... importing licenses, and those are also free, where you can import larger amounts, more quantities. If you are planning on doing that, that's the best route.
Right.
Because then you can really pack it in and then pay for Fido one time.
Right.
And then after that, it's the cost of shipping, and it's easier to ship a lot of stuff all at once.
Well, and really, if you have like a couple plant friends and you all just go in together.
Yeah, that's usually what I've done in the past. Although the first time I imported a plant from, I think it was from Indonesia, was a Anthurium clarinervium. After all the fees and stuff, it was $50 to import it. And at the time, they were going for nearly $200. So it was worth it for me to do that at the time.
How did you get shipping for that price?
I had a relationship with I talked to that person a lot and they helped me with some problems. And so whenever I was looking at it and I saw they had it, I reached out and they cut me a deal.
I just feel like $50 minimum for shipping would be that price only.
I was surprised by the cost of it, but again, $50 was all it cost to import this one anthurium. Lately, though, I've been doing more seeds, and the laws are slightly different around those. But again, it's really easy. Like, a lot of people who struggle with it, I feel they don't read enough about it, because if you read everything, it's not hard. You just fill out the paperwork, and there's even easy ways to fill out the paperwork. Like, for my seeds, you can go and you can put all the species that you're importing, or you could just put... all eligible taxon, and then they'll just look at it and they'll take your seed list, enter it in the computer, and if anything pops up as like a this is not allowed, they'll reject it. But for the most part, it comes through pretty easily.
Okay, so you mentioned getting your importer license, and that's free.
Yep.
How does one do that? And then how does one acquire a phytosanitary certificate?
Okay, for the imports, that's through APHIS. It's a government agency that deals with all the phytosanitary issues with imports. They have very easy walkthroughs posted on their websites. You can just Google APHIS import license and they'll have something there. I recommend doing it all online, because if you do it through paper, I hear it takes weeks to get approved. Whereas whenever I've done them online, I've gotten approval like within 24 hours. Mm. And then what was the other question?
Phytosanitary certificate.
I view that as more of a, it's not on me.
I was going to say, that should be on the seller, right?
That's on the seller. They should be offering it to you, and there's going to be a small cost with that. It's usually between $20 and $60, depending on what you're importing and how far they have to go, because some stuff does have special regulations with it. But that is on the seller. You shouldn't have to fill out anything for phytosanitary.
Yeah.
Pay for it and the seller should do it.
The stuff I've seen on Etsy, that's how I usually can tell that's how I know it's going to be an important plant is it looks really cheap, but then in the description it says like free photo photosanitary certificate. I'm like, oh, now I'm going to be paying for shipping, or it's going to take me 3 weeks to get the plant. Besides like establishing a relationship with the seller, what's a good rule of thumb of finding a seller that you can trust?
That is, you just got to talk to people. Because sure. Whenever it comes to, whenever I import from Asia, there's a Asian group in Southeast Asia. It's like Aeshan or A-S-E-A-N. Mm-hmm. They kind of pull the sellers all together and make it one place where you can kind of like see who all has what. And those people are usually reliable and are doing business with bigger companies. So like it's not as sketchy. Mm-hmm. And then also a lot of these wholesalers overseas, a lot of them have reputations that people have had experience with. So like a quick Google search of the seller can usually sure. turn up a good review.
Sure.
And I've always gone, if you see a couple that have people who have had issues, I usually caution, just show caution and expect those problems. Mm-hmm. But I haven't had any issue with anything importing.
I feel like you do your research beforehand and you don't just jump at the first opportunity that presents itself.
Yeah, it's because I'm usually the one handling the paperwork for a group of people. So I got to know what's going on.
You said you've imported seeds and plants?
Yep. Plants from Southeast Asia and seeds from Africa.
When you import plants, do they come in like a soil or potting mix?
No.
Okay.
Plants have to be shipped bare root.
Sure.
So keep that in mind when you're buying your plants. So if you're importing begonias, you're not getting begonias.
You're getting dead things. You're getting dead
things.
Yeah.
Anything that's not going to last 6 weeks in a box is not going to be good. It probably will not arrive in one piece. So don't get your hopes up on that stuff.
6 weeks? Can you ship it sooner?
Up to 6 weeks. It usually takes about a month, but it can take up to 6 weeks.
And this is where finding sellers that have life plant guarantees is really nice.
Yes.
My brain, like I would probably always want to do, if I'm thinking Hoya cuttings, that I can like ask the seller a plastic bag or a Ziploc bag with wet paper towel. It will be fine for weeks in a box.
Like I always pick my plants based on like their family. Like I will do aeroids because a lot of aeroids ship really well. I avoid begonias because they're just too tender and delicate. Yeah. Hoyas tend to ship pretty well. Anything that's going to be big, thick and sturdy tends to ship pretty well. Though sometimes I will say when they are shipped in bare root, some people do wrap in sphagnum moss. Mm. That can improve your odds. Like usually the seller's pretty good at knowing how to ship international.
Right. Are there other pests that we have to worry about? Well, like, okay, so stuff ships bare root because you have to be careful of soil-borne pests like jumping worms and stuff like that. But, like, is there an Asian spider mite that we don't know of? Like,
if you read the phytosanitary laws on where you're importing from, most of them require that they have been treated and are pest-free. That is a standard across the board that I think the U.S. has established.
Sure.
So if there's any signs of pests, they will be destroyed.
So you're almost guaranteed to be getting plants that are like heavily pesticided up.
True.
Like sprayed down and stuff like that.
That is usually a standard practice. They'll do it for other plant life too, fungal, all that stuff.
Yeah. So that's just something to definitely keep in mind.
Yep.
Trying to think.
And that's less of an issue with like seeds and stuff. That's why I've started going more towards importing seeds.
Sure.
But I know that's not an option for everything because like aeroid seeds wouldn't be able to be shipped.
Right.
Anthurium seeds, that kind of stuff. The seeds that are alive, you can't really import that stuff.
Well, and I've like considered like alocasia corms, but there's no way to prove like an alocasia corm is the species because they all look so similar.
That would come down to a seller reputation.
Right.
If the seller's reputable, then what you're buying is usually what you're getting.
So I... a little bit of a tangent, but like a few plant chats ago, we were talking about like the whole AI pink Monstera scam. And I was like, just for fun, Googling it one day and it came up on like Amazon. Someone was like rare pink Monstera seeds and it was straight up like lima beans.
Monstera seeds do kind of look like lima beans though.
Oh, do they really? Yep. Oh man. I was like, gotcha. I'm curious though. Obviously there's no such the pink
five Monstera's, for $25. I'm getting it.
Well, it was like $400 for like three seeds. Pink Monstera's don't exist, friends, but it was just really funny to me.
Can you send me that link? I'm just kidding. Just kidding. There are other pink plants if you want a pink plant fancy.
The other thing with like importing certain countries have reputations.
Sure.
Like, for instance, I will not ever import anything. Well, there is one thing I would import, but China. Usually if something is coming from China, no. Unless they're known for it. Like, China does have a thriving Haworthia culture.
Sure.
I would import Haworthia.
Sure.
But that is the only thing. And then it's very few companies I would import from because most of them are scams.
Sure.
Importing from Thailand, do your double check. Check sure. the reputation because same issues there. Yeah, but most of the other countries are pretty straightforward and they're pretty honest about what you're getting.
Yeah.
The other thing is, this goes back to the good old days of the Philodendron Pink Congo.
Oh, yeah.
Read descriptions because some of these plant companies will sell stuff like the Pink Congos were meant as decorations. They weren't ever meant to be grown on.
Right.
And to them, that's what they're being sold as. So, like, make sure that you read the descriptions and make sure that what you're getting is not, like, ethylene treated because that will change as it grows.
The appearance of the plant.
So, like, if you're importing stuff and stuff seems, like, just wild and crazy, look into it to make sure it's not, like I said, an ethylene thing.
Yeah.
Or where they color it.
Yeah, like those succulents at Home Depot.
Oh, my God.
Oh, the spray-painted ones?
Yeah.
Gross.
The point of those is they grow past it, but by the time they go past it, they're etiolating and it's too much.
Or the ones that have like the
They don't even make it because people kill them.
Fake flowers that they like super glue onto them.
Hey, they're listening. They have cut back on the amount of straw flowers they glued to cacti. They're switching to googly eyes now.
Oh God, I love a googly eye.
I wish I was joking.
I have googly eyes on some plants. Not gonna lie.
But you don't glue them onto your plants.
Well, they had adhesive backing, so technically, no.
Where have you imported from?
My main two places I've imported from were Indonesia and South Africa.
But these are succulents.
Yeah. South Africa was succulent seeds. I hesitate to import actual succulent plants.
Sure.
The common thing is they will sell you really nice looking plants, but they're poached. Mm. So you got to really make sure you're not getting a habitat grown thing. Because whenever you import those and you get them all planted up, 9 times out of 10, they die.
Sure.
Because they're just not meant to be grown in captivity.
Sure. I don't want to act like I know where to find stuff. So like obviously like South Africa, Indonesia for succulents. I know Hoya, a lot of people bring stuff in from the Philippines, Vietnam, Southeast Asia.
Yeah, a lot of my places that I've started looking at and buying from are places that other people I know have bought from.
Sure.
So, like, it's like in the succulent world, we have the two main places in South Africa that are one's less sketchy and the other's reputable is Silver Hills and Lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Lifestyle's a little sketchy, but they will follow the law if you ask them.
Yeah.
So, but you got to ask them.
Yeah, you got to be very clear. That's one thing with importing. Always make sure you're getting phyto because anytime you don't ask for it, they will skimp on that cost to save money. And it comes down to you didn't ask. That's your problem.
Yeah. What does it cost them to do it?
Usually between, like I said, $30 and $60, depending on what they have to do. But usually it's around $30.
And I guess for people that like are scared of importing, there's no like criminal action that can happen to you if you don't get your stuff together.
Incinerate your plants.
Yeah, customs just full on just.
Like they'll just destroy it and send you a letter being like, you got a shipment in, but it did not meet our standards. Here's why. It was destroyed.
Yeah. So it's an expensive learning curve, but there's, what's the word? Practice importing to make sure you're getting it right.
Pro tip, some credit cards will allow you to do chargebacks a very long time away from where you actually purchased them. Because I know 1 year when I imported, I used one of Noah's cards and I had a year to do a chargeback. Uh-huh. Everything came, so I didn't need to.
Yeah.
But a lot of this time, importing is a risk. If you pay for the stuff and it doesn't come through or arrives dead, unless if they don't have a live arrival guarantee, you're out that money.
Yeah. So how long does it take normally?
Like I said, plants typically come through in 3 to 4 weeks, but it can take up to 6. They say expect up to like 6 to 8 at the very high end, but that's very rare that it takes that long.
See, that's another part that would like freak me out a little bit because here in Minnesota, 8 weeks is like a whole freaking season. Like 8 weeks from now, it could be 30 degrees.
No, don't say that.
I never do plant imports earlier than April.
Sure.
Because whenever you're importing actual plant material, they do try to move it quickly. They move at the speed of which they have employees for, and that can be pretty fast. Seeds, good luck. I did my last seed order in September, and I just got it last week, and it is now July.
From September?
Yeah.
Because
it took the company 1 week to ship it out. It took 3 weeks to hit APHIS. And APHIS held on to it. They hold on to it usually for like 80 to 90 days just to make sure that there's nothing funky going on with it. And then after the holding period, they release it for inspection. And then as long as it takes to get inspected is how long you're waiting. And then as soon as it's inspected, if it passes, they ship it out to your address that they have on file with the permit.
So what if, you had seeds, but like what if that had been plant tissue?
It would have been a different permit and it would have been run through a different service or a different chunk of it that runs faster. Like, they do try to accommodate what you're shipping in.
I really don't want to harp on a topic I know we've talked on so much at this point, but, like, to hear that and think about some sellers that we know that were importing shit and immediately putting them back out. Like, we're talking plants that have sat for 2 months.
In a dark box.
In a dark box.
Yeah. Oh, but I'm going to sell it to you at this low, low price.
But not acclimating. So I guess to touch on that acclimation. Yes. I mean, you're getting stressed out shit.
Yeah. Usually whenever I import my plants, the first thing I will do, regardless of what plant I'm importing, is I throw them in a bucket of water.
Because they're dry.
Even if it's just for like an hour. Just to get them rehydrated and see if any issues pop up. Like, if there's anything going to rot or anything like that. Sure. And then immediately after that, I pot it up and then I will do the whole acclimation as if it's coming from the dark. Like lowest light possible, not getting enough up to the point where I feel it is getting enough. And after that, it's just a waiting game of everything to start growing and rooting. And I think with my first and that Clarinervium I imported, it was 9 months before it grew again.
Sure. I mean, yeah, you're.
But yeah, that's not bad for an anthurium.
Yeah.
That's fucking anthurium.
So that's definitely something you have to consider is, well, and I'm thinking, you know, like Hoya props, because it would be cuttings from Hoya most likely if I was to do it.
But like, put this one leaf or this one node cutting in a gallon size Ziploc bag so it has room to grow.
Can you please put it in with a paper towel? Because I've had Hoya cuttings in like months in that kind of setup.
I currently have a little chunk of serpents that broke off in a.
And they do great.
Ziploc bag with paper towel.
There is a, I don't know how I got onto it. I think it's called the Bee Hoya. It's an Instagram page and I'm horrible. I don't know exactly where they are. They are speaking an Asian language of some sort, but they're basically doing weekly sales of like mother plants. And I'm like, oh, one of these days, maybe I'll just do it.
Just order a big old mother plant.
Yeah.
Mother Hoya.
For me, when I'm looking at importing stuff, I've kind of gone from trying to import things that are like expensive here, but cheap over there to if I'm going to import a plant, I would go the get a mother plant, get something big, get something nice established, because if I'm going to be paying to import a plant, that's what I want to do.
Sure.
If I want a variety of plants, I'm going to skip getting actual plants and I'm going to import tissue culture.
Or cuttings. Because
those ship easier and they're more likely to arrive intact.
Yeah.
Have less issue.
Has stuff arrived like well packaged usually?
Oh yeah. Okay. I have never had a problem with packaging.
Cool.
Like one time I had a box, the box was crushed, but everything inside was untouched. They had packed it so well.
Nice.
Like these people who are exporting these plants know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So
and I guess second question, like packaged inside really well, but how has the stuff traveled?
Very well.
Okay.
I've never lost a plant that I've imported.
Sure.
At least not due to import issues.
Yeah.
Mine have always been forget to water it.
Oh, no.
Right.
And that's usually happening months after I've already established it.
But like the box was like, okay.
Yeah.
Because the couple times I've like shipped stuff out, I've got little like stickers that say like handle with care, live plants or whatever. I know FedEx or UPS or whoever does not care. Maybe you'll find a sympathetic
pro tip.
Person.
Never put that on your box. No. Mailmen. Mail carriers will see that. It's a challenge.
Gross.
It's terrible, but they get treated rougher if they have a fragile or handle with care sticker on them.
Gross.
So that's why I don't do that. I speak from working in that culture.
I've never imported anything.
No. Do you want to try?
No.
No. It's like I've wanted to try, right? Like,
there's nothing I want bad enough that I can't wait for. And also, like, the cost up front, it's not worth it for me. I spend $25 on plants, and that's what I do.
There's some Allocasia and Hoya out there that I'm like, maybe I should just try and import them.
I always wait for the price to be right. Like, this last year when I was doing my seed order, all the seeds I ordered, I could get here in the States.
Sure.
But they're $20, $30 a seed.
Right.
And I am importing them by the hundreds,
right,
for $5.
Right.
So are you going to turn around and sell those for $20 to $30 a seed?
No. A lot of people do. I know a lot of people order from the suppliers I do because I see them. They use the same pictures that I like. Oh, I just know where people are getting their seeds. And that is what a lot of people, that's the new thing, is people import these seeds and then mark them up.
Sure.
That's very common in like cacti and succulent because they're very hardy seeds and last a long time. So they don't have to be produced here in the States.
Sure.
But with that and the laws around seeds are more loose. Your permit covers, I think, up to 50 seeds or 50 grams, or it kind of depends because there's wiggle rooms for, like, let's say one seed is a 10-pound seed. They have exceptions for that kind of stuff. But for the most part, there's like quantity limits, weight limits, and then just restrictions on, like, the restrictions for species are going to be more for like what's endangered and whatnot, like things that you're just not supposed to be shipping because of CITES.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's not too complicated. But yeah, I know a lot of the seeds I bought this year, as I was waiting for them, I see these sellers getting their orders in because they're throwing their seeds up and they're double, triple, quadruple the price.
Sure.
For way less. And it's just, I would rather just import my own stuff. Mm-hmm. If it's going to be cheaper, do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
The nice thing about that is you can get more people in on it, and that really makes shipping worth it.
Yeah.
Because I think whenever we did our seed order, they're like, if you order more than like $100 worth of seed, your shipping's free.
Right.
And then I only paid for the seeds.
When you got the Diona Dual seeds, were those imported?
No, those are from Florida.
Oh, okay.
I got to get more of those, but they haven't been on the market. I've seen lots of other cycad seeds, but they're $50 to $100 a seed because they're rare.
Mm.
Cycad seeds are a whole nother world. Sorry. I have also imported seeds from Southeast Asia, Thailand specifically, and their import seed laws are different. For theirs, since I was only doing one species or one group, they were able to just phytosanitary certificate it for free, and I didn't have to pay shipping on those either.
Mm.
It's the way to go.
Yep.
So kind of like talking about, okay, because this is kind of going to go into our next subject here, is you want to import some stuff, and you've started to Google and you find, you know, a couple sellers and stuff. You really want to do some decent research, mm-hmm, on them. And then maybe we could talk about best ways to do research, because we're not going to tell you how to live your life, but we recommend you find someone who is growing plants in these other countries versus heading out into the woods or whatever and to nature and just like chopping up plants and shipping to you, because that is called poaching. So I guess to start it, what is the best practices as far as researching sellers? I mean, Nowadays, you can't just say, oh, they just have a website, because you can build a website for $2. And
as I say, the first thing I do is I Google what seeds I'm looking for,
mm-hmm,
and then I'll try to find import options. And then when I find those options, I make a list, and then I start Googling things that I put on the list, the specific companies, the websites. If I can find a Reddit thread reviewing them, fantastic.
Yeah.
If one of my friends has ordered from them, even better.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be, like, word of mouth is the best way to learn about these things.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, say they have a website and they have, you know, 500 five-star reviews. Take a look at those reviews, because, like, even on, like, Amazon nowadays, if a lot of the reviews say the same exact thing, you know those are bot reviews.
My trick with reviews, I look at them. I do not look for positive reviews. I look for their negative reviews.
Yeah. Because, in so many websites, well, one, if it's their own website, they get to choose what reviews go up. But a lot of these selling sites say it's a hosted, like Etsy. Etsy, I think you can choose what reviews get shown or not shown.
No, Etsy shows all of them.
They've changed that then. Because it used to be you can hide reviews.
You can get them deleted really easy.
I know even on...
Huh? You can get the Etsy reviews deleted really easy.
There you go, yeah. That's just like some, you know, research that, you know, doing due diligence without getting too harpy on it.
The other part of that is when you're looking at these companies, see, like... For my seeds that I import, I have to be very careful because I'm ordering South African seeds from South African companies.
Sure.
And seeds are a gray area.
Sure. You,
they sometimes will go out and collect them in the wild.
Sure.
Again, it's a gray area. If it's a common plant, I usually don't have an issue with that. If they're doing sustainable seed collecting practices, I'm a little iffy with that because I don't trust them 100%. Mm-hmm. So my general idea of what I like to do is if a plant is a hot plant and the like the mammillaria that was just discovered in Mexico, I think it's like Bachiana or something like that, discovered in the last 5 to 10 years, it is illegal to export any material of it from Mexico.
Sure.
It, you can get seeds, cuttings, all that stuff. There's no way it could have been introduced to horticulture legally. Mm-hmm. So what I do is like I will, if a plant comes up as newly discovered and I can get seeds and cuttings, I'm not going to. I'm going to wait 5 to 6 years before I do that because I want my seeds. I really don't want my stuff. I don't want to participate in that. Right. If I'm going to buy seeds, I want them to be produced by a captive grown seed plant.
Sure.
Not a poached plant, nothing like that. So just do your research and see how they collect it. Like I know Silver Hills, they grow a lot of their own stuff. Mm-hmm. Lifestyle also grows a lot of their own stuff. Like they've got seed stock plants. Mm-hmm. But there are companies out there who do wild collect. So you do got to be mindful of that because again, if they're ethical about it and they're not, and they're taking less than 10% of the seeds available, that's kind of what the standard is. Mm-hmm. But there are other people who will come through and just take everything. Mm-hmm. And if they're taking everything, those plants miss out on a whole year of seedlings.
Sure.
They're babies.
And considering that some plants will only produce a couple seedlings a decade, that could really set back a population.
Right.
So like just be mindful of how they're collecting, where it's coming from, how it's being sourced. That's why I like to, I don't really care to order stuff that are pop that is native to the countries I'm buying from because it's because if it's
I see what you're saying. What was I gonna say for a second? Oh, and not to get too shady, if because a good seller, you should be able to ask.
Yes.
If you have like, are you growing these? How are you obtaining these? Like, how long have you had them?
Yeah.
And if people get. And if the person you're talking to gets like super defensive or like angry about it, then that's kind of your sign. That this may be, these plants may be acquired. Even if they're not poaching, like, did they steal them?
The other thing you're looking for is if you're importing plants, if you're looking at a picture of a bunch of plants lined up, all about the same size, they look hard grown. Like it's very, like a lot of the poaching pictures, it's obvious that these are just shipped them in a box and they're laying them out like this is what we got.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. Like just avoid it. Learning how to spot that stuff.
Yeah.
Never be afraid to ask questions of people who have experience with this stuff because we're here to help.
Yeah.
See, and all of this is just too overwhelming for me. And I'm like, yep, nope, never going to do it.
It's like me and the state hair plants. I'm nope.
See, that's why I'm trying to make it more accessible. So it's like.
Well, and that's because I've definitely seen in some of the groups. The National Hoya group, like there's a lady, I think twice a year now, she's been like, okay, I'm getting ready to do a big importing order. Y'all can like, she's basically facilitating the importing for folks.
Yeah. And that's a lot of how it's worked is we put together groups or like I'm importing from this country and this company. Does anybody have an interest in throwing their stuff on? Cause it does make things cheaper.
Yeah. And I mean, she did one not too long ago and there wasn't really anything on it that I didn't, that I was like, nah, I'll just buy it in the US here. I guess I'm very hopeful one of these days, like a crazy unicorn will like pop up and I'll be like, yes, let's get it.
Yeah. That's why like nowadays I don't really like care to import plants. I go for the seeds. And even then most of the time I'm just gonna wait for them to hit the States. Yeah. This year the reason I did it was because like I said, the prices were outrageous for what I wanted. And it was just easier to import.
Sure.
And I kind of wanted to see if I could do it.
Yeah.
I can't believe it took that long. I remember when you told me you were getting your seed order together, but it didn't like compute that it would take that long.
6 months.
Yeah, that's the other thing is like a lot of people don't understand the timeline.
More than 6 months.
Like right. I tell people like, oh, it's going to take a while. And people think, oh, a week.
Yeah.
No. It's more like I always like with importing seeds, I tell people like it could take up to a year.
Yeah.
Like if that's what I was going to do. It's like I was going to wait a year. And if I didn't hear from a year, I was just going to assume it wasn't coming.
Right. It's just lost.
Yeah. Yeah. And that I would have been out $200, but whatever.
Oof. Yeah.
What are some of the cool things you got in this seed shipment?
Oh, I got mostly Masonia succulent bulb seeds.
Succulent bulb?
Bulb. Yep.
Okay.
They're it's cool because they're like winter growers, like I love to play with. Mm. I got some rat pollinated bulbs.
Rat pollinated.
Wow.
Yep. I am excited for those ones.
How do the rats pollinate them?
The flowers, whenever the bulb sends out its leaves, they hug the ground. And then the center between the leaves, the flowers don't come up on a stalk. They just kind of burst out.
Interesting.
And they're big and they're tons of nectar. Nice. So the rats come in to get the nectar they get the pollen on their noses. And then they go dig around in another plant
cute.
And they pollinate it. So that literally sounds pollinated by rats.
So cute. Tangent. Did you all see the picture of the rats watching Gojira's performance for the opening ceremony for the Olympics?
I didn't even know the Olympics were going until like a day ago.
What are the Olympics?
But there's a picture of like of French sewer rats. There's like 13 of them like poking their head out of like a storm drain to watch the performance. It's so freaking cute. To the Google, Kaylin goes.
Right. That's Brandon's favorite band.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did he enjoy their performance?
He didn't fucking watch it.
Oh, he should watch it. It's good.
He's on Reddit, so I'm sure he's looked it up.
It was a really, like, for lack of a better term, metal performance. Like, it was sick. That was now buried in our importing episode forever. So you don't have any, like, super immediate plans to try again?
I'm thinking this fall I might look to see what is available.
Mm-hmm.
Seed market's still kind of crazy, so I might import again this fall for next summer delivery, maybe.
Yeah. So, okay, I guess, is it easier to import plants versus, I mean, cost, yes, but versus I go on a trip and I buy a plant at a nursery and I'm going to bring that home?
If you're bringing a plant in international in your luggage, that is a felony.
Sure.
Expect jail time. If you're bringing plant material into the country internationally, that is a felony. Expect jail time if you're caught.
Without
any paperwork.
Yes, without.
You're lucky if they incinerate your plants at the Miami airport.
Oh, no. They will incinerate your plant at the Miami airport, put cuffs on you, and you will get a fine,
too. We're saying you're lucky if they only do that.
And the fine is tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Like,
but dang. To do it properly, is it easier?
No.
Okay.
I've dealt with this in Hawaii airport, because it's United States territory. Mm-hmm. They have an APHIS station to inspect your stuff and make sure it's up to standards and has the paperwork right then and there. And so that 3-week process is down to 5 minutes.
Sure.
That in that case, yeah, it's easier.
Sure.
Bringing it from overseas anywhere else, no.
Okay.
You're better off buying it overseas, finding a company that will ship it home to get the stuff for it.
Sure.
To do it for you, and then you pay their fees.
Yeah.
Like, I know there's in Singapore, they've got tons of them, because Singapore is one of those places that people love to go plant shopping at.
It's a huge market to get stuff out of Singapore.
Singapore, Thailand, Indonesia, those are the top three in Asia.
So that should be our field trip. We're going to go to Singapore to look at the airport, and then we can go plant shopping and ship plants home to ourselves. Yeah.
I was going to say, that's what you should. If you're planning on doing something like that, that is really worth doing a trip and buying for a lot of people.
I do know of folks, again, National Holy Group, there's some like crazy sellers there.
That Rick dude, he does that.
Yeah, they go overseas, you know, a couple times a year. They do shopping trips essentially and get their inventory for the year.
If you're doing it in volume, that is a good way to do it.
Yeah.
And that's what it's come down to. Like, it used to be back in the day, doing individuals was okay, but with how COVID screwed everything up, now you got to do it bulk.
Yeah.
Because I was recently looking at the standard phytosanitary that you don't need to apply for your permit with or for. And I, doing the math on what I was looking at, it is not really worth it to do that unless you have an actual import license where you can do a large amount and a varied amount of species.
Sure.
And then the other part of that is make sure you're clear on what the law is actually saying, because some countries, plant means plant. Other countries, plant means species. So when they sometimes it's like, you can have 12 plants. That's 12 plants, but if they're all one species, that's one.
Sure.
Other times you have 12 plants of the same species, that's 12 plants, you're at your cap.
Interesting.
So you got to, sometimes you got to get clarifications on that stuff.
Get that delineation.
And most sellers, if they're good, decent sellers, they're there to answer your questions because they want to make the sale. Because if they make a sale and they export it successfully, you tell your friends, they're more likely to come back with either a group order or their friends will come and make an order, that kind of stuff.
Sure. Cool. Because
that importing stuff has been really popular, especially now with the tissue culture taking off.
Yeah.
Although I kind of hesitate with a lot of tissue cultures too. Mm. Because the reason that people are doing tissue cultures in Asia is because if you do it here in America, minimum wage is like, what, $7, $8?
Yeah.
Do it in Asia, minimum wage, it's slave labor.
Yeah.
So, again, look for reputable companies.
Yeah, totally.
Like, it's kind of getting to the point where I don't think you should really have to import plants often as an individual.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. Anything else importing we want to chat about? Caitlin, did you find that picture?
Yeah. I'm like, how the hell did the rats get up to the top of the sewer grate?
Did you show it to Mackie?
Oh, no. Did you want to see it?
No. Oh.
I have no interest in the Olympics.
It's just rats. It's not.
I know, but like, unless it's the swimmers.
Oh, I mean, the Olympics have just reaffirmed that I have a crush on every single athlete, like ever.
Tom Daly. Tom Daly and his cute husband and their kid. Yeah. Oh my God.
I hate the marketing for the Olympics. They're just trying to get us to watch it. And I hate it when people tell me to watch something. So purposefully I don't. And I was like, oh, I'd like to watch the Olympic finals and see who wins gold and, you know, whatever, whatever. But like, have I looked at when any of those are and planned my day around?
No, them? Like, no! I haven't. Yeah, it doesn't, I guess, interrupt my life that way. Like, I'll put them on and have them in the background. And if I happen to catch something, I'm like, oh, cool. Yay. Woo. We won. The biggest thing for me is opening and closing ceremonies because of my tech theater background. Like, I want to see how they're doing shit and see how, like, to date, the 2012 London Olympics is such a technical spectacle that it's just so cool to go back and just watch all 3 hours of it.
I would say that is the one part of the Olympics I can get on board with is the entertainment.
Yeah.
See, and I'm just like, nah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the Olympics is just one giant dick measuring contest between countries.
Yeah. It's the only thing US can win in.
They said the some athletes have gotten popular on TikTok for, you know, cute whatever, whatever. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to watch this track and field star complain about hitting on the Romanian volleyball team. And like, oh my God, it just reaffirms how much I hate TikTok. Because like, I was like expecting some like great entertainment, you know, for a short amount of time, right? TikTok. But like, it was like even shorter than I could even like understand what was going on. And then it was over. And I was like, that wasn't even that good. And then I watched like four more from the same person. And I was like, they really made these sound like they would be awesome.
You got to learn how to TikTok, Caitlin.
Well, I just hate TikTok. Because it sucks. Can't get into it. I picked mine out already. It's my Alocasia stingray.
Ooh.
Because apparently I haven't.
You're the only person that still has them.
Nobody wants them either, you guys. I saw a big one at the Atlanta Botanical Garden. And I was like, oh my God, they get this big. I can't wait. So like, I'm working on it. And I did have like a bunch of tiny plants in one pot. And now I currently have one big one in one pot. And we are getting there. He's at least 4 feet tall. And those stingray leaves are huge. I love him.
I like how big they get. The leaves, when they get so big, just kind of start looking wrong to me. Because it's like they're big, pillowy billy. And then they have that taper off to that just thin little tail. And it's just, it weird.
I love weird leaves.
Yeah, weird leaves are cool.
Flying squid.
That's not even leaves. That's just
grass.
Yeah.
I would like a flying squid, please. Christine hates them.
I hate, well, and you know, I mean, because how often have you had to deal with spider mites on your stingray?
Well, since I've been doing beneficial bugs for prevention last year, he got it. Okay. So the problem with the plant last year is that I let him dry out too much in the greenhouse because he was using up the water too fast. And so he got too dry, got stressed, got spider mites. If I had repotted him right away, wouldn't have had that problem.
Yeah.
But I did tackle that one with regular hose spray downs that I did religiously on this huge pot with like 8 plants in it. Yeah. And it was awful, but it worked.
I mean, we've learned that plants that get those like real tiny, narrow leaves, specifically the alocasias, stingray, tiny dancer, flying squid, spider mites all day long. They just love it.
It has nothing to do with the cracks and crevices. It's the fact that it's a tasty alocasia.
Nah, I think it's because it's tinier leaf margins.
That harder they to get can, in there.
It's easier to web out into.
Yeah, the Tiny Dancer was the most notorious spider mite magnet for me.
As I say, those thinner ones have the thinner cuticles, which makes pest damage and pest feeding a lot easier for them. So
That checks out, because Regal Shield is thicker than a Michelizziana. Mm-hmm. Look, I used the right name for it.
Yes, you did. Good job.
Thanks.
Cool. Reminder, folks. Oh, wait, sorry.
Did you guys do plants of the week? Like,
Christine, what are you doing?
Only there is only one plant of the week.
I'm like, of course we both talk. Sorry.
My plant of the week.
Because I wrote them down in our Discord threads. I'm like, so we've clearly talked about them.
Oh, funny.
Spicy, stop it.
I momentarily forgot what I said it was earlier.
Euphorbia something.
It was like a
Okay, so last year I bought three of these. Euphorbia nuthii.
That was not the same one.
That is the same one.
No, it was not a euphorbia.
It was a euphorbia.
Yes, it was a euphorbia.
Because this one had one stick coming out of the caudex, and now it's got four new ones and that fifth original one, and it's looking good.
You showed me a picture of it.
It's sexy. I can't wait till it's just a bunch of spiny tendrils.
Nice. Spidey.
Mine's going to be my Hoya Walliniana. I'll have to look. Kaylin, I think you would like this one because it sun stress is extremely easy. It's like sunrise sun stressing, but like dark red, almost hot pink. Not hot pink, but definitely pink. When they come in new, they're pink, and then they sun stress down to like a really deep
red. Can I get you to spell it for me?
Walliana.
Hoya Walliana. It's Walliana?
Walliana.
Oh, that's easy. Oh, yes, baby. That's a nice hot pink.
And the variegated ones are really cool, too. But I don't have a variegated one yet. But yeah, that one's just living in my cabinet, all nice and dark red right now and being a happy little guy.
I got my sunrise restarted thanks to Catherine. Thanks, Catherine.
Nice.
Let me know if you want cuttings in your new house. Got a big old pot.
Sure.
And I chopped it and started it over to make sure that I would be able to care for it.
Nice.
Put a bunch of cuttings in one pot.
Nice.
It's going to be
overpotted. Yes,
it's overpotted.
At this point, should we be mentioning our sale?
That's why I was going to talk. But yes, thank you. Oh my God.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Rough Around the Hedges podcast.
I'm Mackie.
I'm Kaylin.
And I'm tired.
Hey, tired. What are we talking about this episode? Reminder, Planty Garage Sale.
Yeah, reminder to, before we talk Planty Garage Sale, reminder, join the Discord. Follow us on Instagram to get all of our info.
Leave us a review.
Because we just announced our next event, which is our Planty Garage Sale.
We're having a Planty Garage Sale September 7th, 2024.
Yep, in New Brighton, Minnesota. So if you are a local listener or if you are
coming in from out of town,
a super dedicated fan, and you're like, you know what, this is the one. I'm going to come in from out of state and come
I'm
going
to buy plants from all of our hosts and then some.
Yeah.
Help me make room to bring my stuff inside because I do not have enough room.
Last year we did
my extra props.
Last year we did a Planty Garage Sale because we wanted a new audio console.
This year we want rid of our plants.
Well, actually, I want to get another audio console. I want to get the smaller one that we could take a little more travel friendly.
That is travel friendly.
That, remember that really tiny one I demoed and brought to Mackie's house?
It looked like a big calculator from the 90s.
Yeah, so that we could basically like do field trips and do an episode at the same time.
It might also be nice to get some nice smaller portable mics that we could do stuff on the go.
Yeah.
You didn't tell me we were contributing money to this garage sale.
No, I'm not asking you to. I'm saying that's just what I would do from the garage sale is take it. Or put it towards something like that.
Double my prices and then give Christine half.
I don't mind kicking in for that. Like I said, for me, this isn't about the money. I just need the fucking space.
Yeah. I just made
I thought you were going to talk about being on the podcast. I'm not in it for the money. None of us are.
But if you want to sponsor us, please do.
Yeah, we will accept our tax deductible donations, et cetera, but we don't make any money from this.
Yeah.
And you are welcome, listeners, for not putting ads in your podcast.
Although
no one wants us. We don't bother. We don't bother.
Although if you are a Planty business entity and you want to work together on something, shoot us an email.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're open for that. We're people pleasers, so we'll try and make something work.
Yeah.
Totally. But now we're tangenting. So, come check us out on our socials and stuff. Check out the Planty Garage Sale. Keep listening. Thank you for listening.
Ooh, we'll have merch at the Planty Garage Sale. We have shirts.
Sure.
What?
You're just going to remind me to remember to bring them.
I reminded myself of them the other day when I was like, we're not doing any more Planty events. And I was like, oh God, Christine has a bunch of shirts. We got to move.
That I just paid off.
Oh boy. Card. Yeah, no. Come buy some shirts so Christine can pay her credit card bill.
Alrighty. This was fun.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Bye.
Sorry I was sick.
Stay rough.
Hope you enjoyed Katie. I should have said that last episode, but whatever. Here we are.
Thanks, Katie, for coming on. It was fantastic. It was fun.
Thanks, Katie, for being Kaylin.
All right. Stay rough, everybody.
Cool. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.